base plates.
Map grid 25J,
his muffled voice said.
That's my best guess.
She called up the last sweep received before the blackout. The grid reference showed an artificial X, a giant complex of some kind, with numerous smaller tributaries running off in all directions. The black hole jets cast long shadows across the polar landscape. Shadows that might have come from smokestacks or weapons emplacements.
That'll do,
she said.
Good work.
Something bright and fast flashed by them. A missile followed by three more in quick succession. Bombardment from the ships behind them, softening what lay ahead. Nerung drifted away, and she resumed the ready position. Her display was blinking. Nearly time to hit atmosphere. Conscious of everyone watching her, she nudged herself closer to Mon's squad. Jop was at point. She came in alongside him, then moved a fraction ahead, hoping to send a message to him that while she might have put him on the firing line, she wasn't afraid to be there with him. Yellow and white mushrooms blossomed on the ground below. The first fingers of atmosphere touched her, whistling faintly, rocking her almost gently from side to side. Then she slammed forward, feeling as though she had hit a brick wall. She roared in defiance at the air screaming past her, adding her own noise to the deafening racket. Her first experience of Sabaddon shook and hammered her, rattling every bone in its socket. Her brain rattled and vision blurred. Time became meaningless. There was no point counting the seconds when each overwhelmed her, and nothing changed. It had to end. And it did, finally. The shaking and shrieking eased. Her suit's external temperature readings dropped out of the red. The view was no longer vacuum perfect, since they were in atmosphere now. The neat formation around her gradually reformed. Instead of counting the seconds since launch, she was studying an altimeter countdown. The surface of the planet was only kilometers away. They had drifted off course, probably due to a stronger-than-expected high-altitude wind, but it wasn't a disaster. Giant mushroom clouds gave her a visual fix on their target. Her suit's internal guidance system confirmed it. Clicking twice over her suit radio, she warned the platoon to get ready. They steadied, angling at a 45-degree angle. When she clicked once more, their airfoils unfurled neatly, like birds in a flock opening their wings at the same time. The wings didn't open all the way just yet. A full spread would have been torn to shreds, even at such rarefied pressures. As their altitude and speed dropped, they would slowly unfurl to their full extent. 100 meters from the ground, their jet chutes would kick in, allowing them to control their landings to the second. They were still moving very quickly. An unassisted landing would result in certain death. Jop gusted closer to her, caught by turbulence. The master factory was directly below them, barely 500 meters away. Intel would be kicking in any second now. Lorin checked her suit's targeting systems and unlocked the rifle she'd hand-picked from the quartermaster's weapons store. The hexes wouldn't be sitting idly as the assault teams grew near. They would be working busily on something, she was sure, but there was no way to tell yet what that might be. She would just have to be ready for anything. Her HUD cleared, and refreshed with data broadcast from above, the target appeared in perfect clarity, revealed underneath the smoke by radar.
You know the drill, people, said Major Cha. Keep low and tight until you reach your objectives, then disperse. If comms are jammed, follow the flares. If you can't see them,